Hello, I want to welcome everybody to meet Constantine Moron. He is a holistic life empowerment mentor, which I'm going to let him describe what exactly that means. But what I can tell you is he's a self-development enthusiast. Like, it's just in his pores, it's in his DNA, and it appears in any stage that he's on, whether it's on his podcast, at work, or just in life. And that will come up in our conversation. And you truly, Constantine, you have a way of inspiring and empowering people. And I know that you do that while one's traveling along their self-discovery journey. And I think that is definitely a superpower of yours. And you do it so gracefully and humbly by sharing your own experiences. And whether that's through your love of technology or spirituality or just simply mentoring because you can't help yourself, it comes up in so many ways. And I'm so excited to have you. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Erica. Wow, that was an awesome introduction. The best one I've had yet. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate your kind words and I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, good. I know this is going to be such an uplifting and empowering conversation because you just have a way of sharing your wisdoms and your insights and with that humility and in such a sincere way. So while I imagine we could talk quite in depth on any topics that would surface, we're going to try to root this conversation on, you know, relatable and actionable ways that people can unlock their potential and to just find more meaning and fulfillment in life. And I know that's one of your many passions and missions. So sound good?
Absolutely. 100%, Erica.
Awesome. So just because this time can go by quickly, I'm going to narrow it a bit more and start with where you come from, this intersection of being plugged into corporate America with your tech job and also just this deeper desire, this deeper calling to, you know, be of service to others by mentoring them and guiding them and empowering them. So how did you unlock your own potential to find yourself in this intersection?
That's such a great question, Erica. And to be honest, the journey started a long time ago, but I wasn't really aware of it until maybe a few years ago. So I grew up in Eastern Europe in a family of engineers. So schooling and learning and being the best you can be was at the top of the list. So that meant that when I moved to Canada when I was 17, I put myself into the studies and following the footsteps of my parents and what they thought was best for us, the kids, because we didn't know any better anyway. But I was always feeling there was something missing because everything I've done in life came from a point of, I want to learn, I want to get better. But then as I learn and get better, I want to share with those around me, be it soccer, be it computer games. There was a point when I played professional poker and then coached many people. And then in the professional world, one thing led to another. And I always found myself mentoring and coaching people, either newer in career or more established people, or also people that were joining the companies I was at and needed someone to work with. And what I realized over the years is that what brings me the most joy is actually working with people and challenging their thought process, challenging some of their beliefs, not because I'm judgmental, but more because I would like them to have different perspectives. Because I know that when someone challenges me and they show me different ways, that's when I can grow a lot, because all of a sudden my eyes are opened. I don't have my blinders on and I can see more opportunities. I can see more options. And all of a sudden I can go down different paths, learn and grow.
I love that. And I feel like just your energy alone makes it so inviting for people. And I know from our past conversations that really just comes through naturally. And so I can see how people would want to come to you. And you have such a fascinating background. Like, who doesn't want to hear about, you know, poker strategies or soccer tactics or, you know, the latest in you know, the soccer league. So I think that's so amazing that that's something you realized within you and have found a way to offer that and a way to, of service to others. So I just really honor that.
Thank you. And I would like to add this idea that a lot of people struggle with, and I've struggled with this a long time, is how can you find a purpose in your life and then match that with whatever job or career you found yourself in? And there's a lot of gurus or people online that like to talk about, well, drop everything you're doing and follow your heart, follow your path, don't look back. And while that may work for some, I've realized in my life that if you were to drop everything and just switch 180 degrees to whatever is in your heart, sure, you may succeed, but there's a lot of pain along the way. So there are other ways in which you can do both things. So keep your career for now, at least, but also find meaning and purpose in that. So for example, as I embarked on this journey of true self-discovery with spirituality and a lot of personal development, I improved as a human being. I made my world better, which meant that everyone around me was impacted. That included my corporate job. I'm a better coworker, a better person to work with. I'm more empathic, I'm more compassionate. I see things differently now. It's not like, you know, you're my customer, Erica, and it's all about the customer interaction. Now you're a human being first. You have your issues, I have mine. Let's be compassionate, let's work together. So now I find more meaning because my meaning for my work and life, sure, Microsoft has a beautiful mission of empowering every person and organization in the world to achieve more, but I also have my own mission. So how do the two combine to bring the best out of ourselves in the corporate world or whatever job you may have? And an example I always like to give is, imagine you're working in a Starbucks as a barista. Well, you have the power to actually make someone's day by smiling, by saying hello, by truly asking how they are, commenting or offering a compliment on their attire, or maybe the way they walk, whatever the case might be. And you can always find meaning and purpose in whatever job it is that you get stuck doing for the time being.
That is so true. And I find too, and if I was to sort of reflect back in another, with another lens of what you just said, is when you can get out of that cyclical way or that numb robotic way of moving through life, whether that's in your career, in your job, or running errand, like going to a grocery store, and you can start to see people. You can see not just at the transaction that this barista is going to give me my latte with, you know, this temperature and this milk and this foam and whatnot, but you're seeing like, this person has their hair done differently or their makeup's just done so flattering. And you see through that, or you notice they're married, or you notice like on, you know, I don't know what else you would notice in that moment, but you just start to see all the human elements of a person besides that transactional exchange. And I love that that can appear in different ways. And you're showing that. Yeah.
I love that example you gave there. And there's many things you can notice, but one thing that struck me a lot in my life, and it became an aha moment later on, is this idea that when you're doing something nice for others, being a gesture or buying someone a coffee or giving some money to a homeless person, it doesn't matter, you know, the grandeur of the gesture, it makes you feel better. And of course, it makes the person receiving likely feel something on the positive side as well. And when I realized that I'm getting as much, if not more, from giving, my world changed, right? Be it in mentorship, be it in, like I said, you know, donations or being nice to someone, saying hello, putting a smile on when I walk down the street. Any of those things have such a huge return on investment that we don't realize often enough.
I 1000% agree. And I think, you know, something I'm so passionate about is bringing back this human aspect or this supportive sort of nurturing aspect in the business setting. And I like to say it's that, you know, in corporate America, I mean, there's a lot of data, this isn't just mine, but that structure and the process and the systems we have in place, while they were intended for good purpose, they've kind of gone off kilter and they're a little, at times can be toxic, and we need to replenish and both men and women to have that softer, supportive, nurturing, humanistic, oh, that's not fair to say humanistic, but kind of that divine feminine aspect, and bring them both into that business setting. And I love how you touched on that, that instead of talking to a client, you're realizing you're talking to a human. I mean, it can really be that simple. It doesn't have to be that we, you know, start with a meditation before a meeting, but it could.
It could, right? But like, it is transformational. And as you progress with this and you try it out, you can try it for 7 days, right? Like, do a couple of things a day that you normally wouldn't do. Maybe act from a place of love rather than a place of fear, and see what difference it makes in your life. Don't worry so much about the other people, because again, you can't control what they feel or how they react, but you can definitely see yourself, and you can be honest with yourself and realize, wait a second, if this makes me feel better and I find more joy and happiness in my life, why would I not do it more often?
Yes. Yes. And I'm wondering if you can give some examples, or just what you've offered to others, or you found through your own experience, of when you see someone sort of in that just thick, dense part of the daily grind of their job, like, what are ways, or what's something you could do, or something you could say that would really help lift them up out of that mucky muck stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question, Erica. I mean, what I've noticed in my professional life and personal life as well is that when I try to be someone I'm not, it's very hard to bring people up from that place and even connect with people. And in my professional life, I did leave a lot of my personality out because I wanted to keep a very professional outlook. But when I started to realize, wait a second, I can be myself and still be professional and still be a top performer, then everything changed. And now I'm joyful. I joke around. I show vulnerability, like you and I discussed. So by being vulnerable, you're almost like you're inviting others to be like, you know what? If Constantine can do it, or if Erica can do it, I can do it too. So I find that in many interactions when I have with people, it's almost like I don't even have to say anything. It kind of comes up naturally. But if that doesn't happen, what can you do? Offering to be someone to listen. And when I say listen, this is something I did a poor job of in my past. It doesn't mean listening to respond. It means listening to understand and just provide them some space so they can share whatever is on their mind. And know that sometimes there are things that they are not comfortable sharing because you, again, might be just a coworker in their mind, and that's fine. But just offering that can allow people the space to be like, you know what? It looks like they're genuine. I'm going to open up. And then from there, of course, you can take it. Listen, don't have to offer any advice. Just listen, be compassionate, empathic about the situation. If you have anything to add, add, but always think about the other person in this case. And what I was going wrong in the past is that I would always listen and I was like, oh, they want a solution. Oh, I need to fix this for them, be it, you know, my partner or someone in the business world. And the reality is that most people don't want a solution, because deep down they know the solution. They just want someone to listen to them and like truly listen and understand their pain.
I love that. And I think you did such a great job of explaining what listening can actually feel like or look like. And I would feel when you do those things, I know from my experience and even just, you know, here right now, is that sometimes the action you're taking is just doing is doing nothing and just being there and receiving so that they can feel seen and heard. And that can be, you don't even have to do anything or say anything. It could just be your presence that can really be uplifting. And I think that radiates through you. So I...
Thank you. And you're absolutely right. And it's funny. Some things appear easy on the surface, but they're so hard to actually implement because it's not how we are raised. It's not what we learn in school or in our life. And that's something that we need to overcome as a society, as individuals, to be able to help others, but at the same time, help ourselves, right? Because if I'm not helping myself, it's very hard to be able to help others. If I'm not on a journey myself and always learning and improving, how am I expected to help anyone else?
Yeah.
It's very tough.
Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. And in that same vein, because I do believe there is a difference between uplifting someone and empowering someone. Maybe you might, if you disagree, you can tell me you completely disagree with me. But assuming you agree, what would be some suggestions you could offer someone of ways that they could empower someone? Like maybe they're just feeling a bit numb or lost in life and you want them to sort of, you know, reconnect with themselves and kind of find that power. What would be some things you would offer?
That's such a great question. And first off, yes, I agree with you with uplifting and empowering. I mean, it's the same as inspiring and empowering. Uplifting kind of gives you that zest that, yes, you know, you can do it, something, you can achieve something. But empowering, it goes beyond it. It's giving you the feeling that, okay, I know I can do it, but how are some ways to get there? And do I have support? Do I have people in my corner? So how do you empower people? Well, we start with providing the space, providing that listening ear, but also perhaps now taking it to a step further and looking to see how can we help them maybe find their purpose or maybe find ways to overcome whatever challenge they're facing. So by being vulnerable is how you do such things. Because if I'm being honest about my journey, like not leaving anything, you know, on the table or under the table, then it gives them permission to pick whatever pieces they want, but also to become vulnerable. Because again, most people, and when I say most, I really believe it's everyone, you have the answer inside. But it does require a bit of digging to get to it, because there are various lenses or layers that you need to go through before you can find that answer. So empowering to me in this case would mean helping you see those lenses that you need to get through or those layers and realize that you have the answer inside. So it might be me challenging your thought process in a way. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you and I are chatting, Eric, and you're telling me, oh, this always happens to me. I get late to work, you know, every day or 5 minutes because of this person or this event or whatever, right? Well, what we could do in that case, I don't want to be judgmental. No one needs that. But maybe come from a place of, okay, someone, you believe that someone outside of you is giving you this issue. Have you considered the fact that maybe if you were to look back at your schedule, if you were to leave 5 minutes early, it doesn't matter if someone cuts you off in traffic or your coffee is late, you're going to be on time. So providing different perspectives, but again, not from a place of judgment, but from a place of love. We're like, have you considered this? Or even better, I found it in my cases, asking, well, do you think of examples in your life where the opposite was true? Because we have many cognitive biases. And if we reinforce them, like we keep saying, oh, I'm always late, or I'm always filling the blanks, bad, ugly, fat, whatever the case might be, your brain is always going to look for those examples around you.
Yes.
Right? It's trying to please you, right? It's trying to please you. So the idea is, okay, let's find the opposite. Can you find it if it's also true? Like times when you're beautiful to yourself and to others, times when you are not late all the time.
Yes.
And it starts questioning your thought process quite a bit.
Yes, there's two things that you said that I just really want to emphasize with an explanation part, which is the noticing when there's those always, you know, that's a pattern that usually is tied to some limiting belief. And if you can ask, like you said, the opposite of it or what it would look like differently, you're helping them shift out of that and perhaps create a new pattern.
Yes.
And so I think that's really powerful of, you know, kind of asking it an opposite way and having them like get out of that cycle of thinking this way. And you mentioned the vulnerability, which I feel like too is when you come from a place of asking questions with such genuinity, if that's such a word, or with just some deep, genuine intention behind it, that can be really empowering. So it could, you know, as you said, you know, offering a suggestion may be disempowering for someone because they might know. So by asking questions from a really genuine, that is just a trippy word for me right now, from a really authentic, vulnerable place invites the other person to go to that same compassionate, vulnerable place within and answer, you know, find their own answers. And that, and that exercise in itself is empowering. So I guess said differently is sometimes by trying to fix something or solve something, that can be disempowering. But when you ask a question with such authenticity and compassion, you're inviting them to find the answer within.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you mentioned it really well, and you summarized it really well there. When I said it's funny, it's the, in one of my jobs that I held for many years, there was this saying that there were some senior leaders that it's like, if you want them to accept your idea and do something about it, make them believe it's their idea. And if you extrapolate from there, right, it's not about deceiving anyone, but it's the idea of getting you to get your own answers. And sure, maybe I helped along the way, maybe someone else, and it is your idea in the end. It doesn't matter where it originated, who had the thoughts, but that works really well. Because again, it's us becoming aware of alternatives. And I talk about this a lot, is the idea that awareness for me is half the battle. If I'm not aware about the patterns I'm following or the actions I'm taking or not taking or the opportunities or options available to me, then how am I expected to make any changes?
Right, for sure. For sure. And I think when, you know, asking those questions or trying to support someone through the journey, if you're going through it with, even if you have an intention, which is, I feel like a good place to start, but not necessarily attached to the outcome of that intention, you might find through the, by asking the questions that what that person arrives at could look very differently than the intent you had initially, but it's so much more empowering for them. And it could be even so much more empowering for yourself than what your initial intention was. Or so it's such a beautiful exchange of energy and information when we can greet each other, as you said, with that human element and a deep, deep level of curiosity and compassion.
And I love that you touched on that, because I strongly believe that you don't want people to implement your ideas into their life. You don't want people to just follow you blindly and take your word for, you know, as gospel, let's say. Not because your ideas are bad. No one's ideas are bad, but what works for you will likely not work for everyone else or most other people. But if you help them get their own answers, it's going to lead to so many amazing outcomes for everyone. And that's what I would say makes a difference between a mentor and a coach. And a mentor for me is someone that leads from a place of experience. I've experienced this, I've done this. I'm not here to teach you a curriculum or say, you know, you got to follow these 5 steps. I'm here to empower you, like you said, to inspire you and to guide you along the way. And you will find the answer. I don't have the answer for you, but I can help you get there. Versus a coach, more often than not, is someone that, at least in the online world, is someone that maybe applies too much theory and says, well, if you do this and this and this, you get to this outcome, and that's the outcome you should go for. And again, that's, like you're saying, disempowering to people often enough, because what you realize is that when you get to a certain outcome, you may be like, well, that's not what I wanted. That doesn't really fit with who I am.
Right, right. And to come back to that mentor and something, again, I'm just sort of pulling out something you said that just really seems to be vibrating. Oh, I did this little hands up thing, is when you had said by being a mentor, it's sharing your experiences, and that, and by sharing your experiences, you become a mentor. So and said differently, it's, you know, if you're telling someone like, this is what you should do, That has a different energy where, you know, it's like, you know, well, if, you know, if I was Constantine and I was like, you know, I remember this game I was in and I wasn't really sure what I needed to do, but I knew there was, you know, a certain amount of time and I needed to make a goal or a team was going to lose and be out of this tournament. And you go on and you explain it and like what you had to do mentally to do and what, how that play played out. And someone else could be like, oh my gosh, I remember that time when I paused for a moment and had to come, you know, just sort of escape the moment of the excitement and come up with an idea and bring it back. And you didn't even have to say anything. You were sharing your experience. And I feel like you have a well full of experience and stories to share to really, truly inspire others. And I just, so and good. So, oh, please.
No, I was going to say, that's the beauty of it, because as you work with people one-on-one, and again, this doesn't have to be something you necessarily get paid for, or it's your job. It's, you can do it because you have an experience, or because you find joy in helping others, which is the stage I'm at. Just simply look at the situation being presented and see what stories in your life may resonate. And I would make one statement there, that a mistake I used to make a lot is, let's say, Erica, you tell me, oh, I feel so best, X and Y happened in my life. And I'll be like, oh yeah, that happened to me too. And like, you know, cut off the person, don't let them finish and make it about my whatever situation was that was similar. So trying to avoid that, where it's almost like you're trying to one-up each other, but it's more about listening first, like we talked, right? And then saying, well, when I went through that experience, this is what worked or didn't work for me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that example is so slippery, I feel like, because I know as a human to human, you want to relate to someone and be like, oh, that happened to me too. But yeah, it is slippery, where it can feel like you just took the mic.
So yeah, you know, what you just said, that it's perfect. Because at least in my experience, if you say, oh, that just happened, that happened to me as well, and then you just show up and let them continue, at least you still have that relation forming. Because now they can be like, oh, okay, so they went through this, they may know what's happening, so they continue. But if you say, oh, that happened to me, and that sucks so much, and you know, this and this happened, then it gets a bit tricky.
Yes, yes. That's a beautiful way to make something stable that can feel slippery.
Yes, exactly.
And I know you have, I know there's probably people that are going to listen and be like, I want to hear more of Constantine, and I want to hear more of how he, you know, more of his stories and experiences to inspire me. And they can on your podcast. So Unleash Thyself, and tell me a little bit about that. Like, how did this come about, and what's this look like, and how can people find you?
Yeah. Thank you, Erica, for the opportunity to share that. So the podcast idea came to me about a year ago, last August. And I was talking to a dear friend of mine. It was all about alternative holistic healers that made a big impact in the world. But in the grand scheme of things, it was a small impact, hundreds of people, which is still significant. You know, it changed the life of hundreds of people. But my thought was, is if someone has a gift, and there's many people that have gifts, I would argue everyone has their own unique gifts, why not create a platform where they can share those gifts with the world? So now, instead of impacting hundreds of people, maybe they impact thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. And that's where the idea came from. And I wanted to truly understand what my purpose in life is, or at least part of it, and how do I manage that with a podcast? And in my case, it's all about being in service to myself and, of course, those around me. And it's the idea of inspiring and empowering people on this beautiful journey that we call life. And I took that to the podcast. So my podcast is all about having conversations with amazing people like yourself and others that have achieved so many beautiful things in life, and they can share from a place of love with no expectation, no agenda, just share, hey, this is my journey. This is what happened. This is how I've helped myself and how I've helped others. And maybe you can find some inspiration in that and some empowerment. They'd be like, you know what? I'm where so-and-so was at this stage in life. So it's all about finding people that are maybe a couple of steps ahead of where you want to be and learning from them. And that's what the podcast is about. And you can find it at unleashthyself.com, all the major podcasting platforms, as well as YouTube at Unleash Thyself. And personally, if you want to talk to me, find me on LinkedIn, Constantine Morun, Morun. I'll happily chat with anyone that reaches out.
Awesome. And I will include all that in the show notes. So if there's anyone that's driving while listening, they can go there and find you and all the ways to get more of you. So Constantine, thank you so much for coming on, having this conversation with me. It's such a delight to talk to you. And you're my first gentleman I have on this podcast. That's awesome. I'm And you're perfect. You're going to be like, it's so memorable and so complimentary. And I'm just honored to have you here. So thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Erica. Thank you for giving me the chance to be on the show. And it's been amazing to have a conversation with you. Thank you.